green.
Green, okay.
Now you are on that. So whatever
and
you see, you...
Yeah, it's better if I pitch in... Oh, I'm speaking. I am online already.
No, you can't hear yourself, but the recording starts.
Is a 10, 10 or 15 you set it?
14.
Okay.
And there was something that was mentioned if somebody asked a question.
Okay.
It is not recorded. The question is not recorded.
The question will be not recorded because they cannot...
If you repeat the question before
okay.
you answer it.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you. Okay. Hopefully. Okay. What happened? Disappeared. If they speak Norwegian, someone will translate for me. But if they speak slowly, maybe I can understand something, yes. Okay, so the lecture of today is different than the video you saw last time, because the video on LCA was on that specific method. That is, a life cycle assessment is a tool to evaluate the environmental impact of a product and processes. And it is carried out with the software, so it's very specific for some application. But the topic of my module in your course is on giving you some introductory knowledge on the sustainability and the concept of sustainable development. And I'm sure that you have heard about this from the TV or maybe also from school where you come from. Can you confirm that you have heard this concept of... yes, okay. Yeah. So the concept of sustainability, the name at least, is well known by almost everybody in the world, but when you ask what is about sustainability, it is more difficult. I mean, if I ask you what is sustainability, probably you will not have a clue. You don't, or at least you have an idea, but you cannot explain with appropriate words what is it about. And also you have heard about sustainable development goals, that is now very common. They are mentioned in every European countries, in Italy, in Norway, there is a big discussion on sustainable development goals and how to reach this. So the lecture of today is about this concept, but I will normally I start doing a quick review, on a historical review, let's say, about this concept, when all these concepts started. And the concept started, we can say, with the Industrial Revolution. So the concept is not recent, it's not new. This concept started considering the changes of the planet from the Industrial Revolution and up to now, which is about two centuries. So the concept of sustainability and sustainable development is about how human beings are affecting the planet, especially starting from the Industrial Revolution to now. So thinking about this. So there were many scientists who were already considering this issue, the relationship between mankind, you can say, we can consider mankind, human beings, like a population who is living in the planet since many years. And thanks to the ability of human beings to invent or to use the brain, we are living now in a very different way than human beings were living in the past. But all this, let's say, evolution or a technological innovation has happened by using all the resources that human beings have found in the planet. And this has been okay since the Industrial Revolution, because the population of human beings was very low. You know how much was the population of the planet before the Industrial Revolution? It was probably around 1 billion. But after, and especially from in the last 100 centuries, the population of the human beings increased a lot. Do you know how much people we live in the planet now? 7 billion. I have to repeat because the recording will not. 7 billion, or probably between seven and eight. So in 100 years, there was a big increase of a population. But and this also has affected the has effects on the planet. So starting from last centuries, there were some scientists who started to consider how this issue on how human beings were living and how the effect of the lifestyle of human being was on the planet. So I want to talk about this scientist that for sure, I'm sure that none of you has heard, and I didn't study this at school, but I discovered by, because when I want to learn more about sustainability, I was studying also about ecology. So I find out that this scientist, Vladimir Vernadsky, is considered the father of geochemistry. He is also the father of the environmental science. So these disciplines, geochemistry, environmental science, are quite new. They start, you know, because he's the father of the environmental science, he was living and writing in 1926. It means that this discipline, environmental science, didn't exist before. So why he started this discipline? He started to study the environment. It was never considered in the past. You know, the scientists were studying chemistry, physics, other things, engineering, technology, blah, blah. But then he started to talk about the environment. And ecology also started to be a discipline to be studied. Ecology still in some countries is not studied as a scientific discipline, while chemistry is studied. You study natural science, but not ecology. So the concept of the environment or environmental science is the environmental science is not an old discipline, and it started at the beginning of last century, 1926. And the main reason was that scientists started to have worries on the effect of the human life and the technological development on the planet. Vernadsky, the nice thing, I mean, he was writing in his books about the concept of geosphere, that is the sphere of geological sphere of the planet, which includes the inanimate matter, which means minerals, the water and sea, but also he was talking about the biosphere, which is the combination or the relationship between the geosphere with living beings, animals, plants. These are concepts existing now. And he was also introducing in his books the concept of noosphere, that is the sphere of reason, the brain, that is belonging only to human beings. So the reason, the difference between the human beings and other living beings is that we have the ability to use the reasons. And this is Vernadsky highlighted this part because it's the characteristic that make human beings also a danger for the planet. I mean, I will try to say this. What he writes is that you can read it because it's a nice piece of writing in his book. He says that mankind's power is connected not with his matter but with its brain, its thoughts and its works. Guided by its mind, in the geological history of the biosphere, a great future is open to man if he realizes it and does not direct his mind and work to self-destruction. And this was 1926. So if you consider these words, I find these words very current, because now all the topic about sustainability or you see climate change, it's like human beings are living without using the brain and going towards self-destruction, because if we destroy the planet, of course we are destroying all the ecosystems, also ourselves. So that's why I like to show this, because this is about what is sustainability and sustainable development about. And the concepts are old, are not new. It's not something we are talking now. Also, there were scientists who were already warning, say, look, was warning a human being, say, watch what you are doing. Or another scientist who I like to introduce you is Paul Crutzen. This is more recent. He won a Nobel Prize in chemistry in the year 2000. He won a Nobel Prize for his studies on chemistry of the atmosphere. But he is also known because he introduced the word Anthropocene. Have you heard this word Anthropocene? Never. Because I know that there is a TV series called Anthropocene. It's a catastrophic series on how human beings are destroying the planet. There is also a journal, Journal of Anthropocene, and now it's on more scientific. There are scientific publications on that. Anthropos in Greek means man, and sen is like the era. The meaning of this word, according to Paul Crutzen, is that human beings is living currently in this modern society where we are living is characterized by an impact due to human beings that is so huge, so big, that this impact will stay also in the future generation for the other eras. And this impact has changed the era we were living before. So before the Industrial Revolution, the planet was different than the planet we are living now, and this impact will stay for long. If you think about the impact due to the plastic that is spread all over everywhere, in the soil, in the sea. So let's imagine in 100 years, 200 years, the human who will check the soil, they will find the plastic. So these important changes that happens now due to the impact of human living, the life of human beings, is considered like a change of the geological area. But this is a theory, of course, of Paul Crutzen. But this theory was confirmed by a geologist called Jan Zarawiecki. They published this paper in Nature, which is quite a relevant publication. It's an important journal for scientific results. So they both agree that these changes are sufficiently distinct and robustly established for suggestions of Holocene-Anthropocene boundaries. So we live geologically in the Holocene time, but according to Paul Crutzen, we can call this Anthropocene. And the change is done by the human beings because of the impact we generate on the planet. So this is, they are a theory, of course, but there is some science behind this theory. And the science is that this impact can be actually monitored. You can see how much plastic there is in the soil, or you talk about microplastic. and all the effect, they affect the ecosystems, the marine ecosystem. They, you can find microplastic in the fish, and it goes. It's not only about microplastic, and the microplastic is an example, but it's all about different type of pollution that comes from the anthropic activity, which means activity of human beings. And again, this the meaning of this is that a human being needs to change or to to be worried about the state of the planet. And again, this another theory was another scientist who was talking about warning human beings on the effect of human beings on the planet was Malthus. This one was a political economist, English political economist. He was born even earlier. He was born in 1766, so just during the Industrial Revolution. And he was worried about the number of the population of the planet. So he was writing an essay that was a principle of population, published in 1798. So can you imagine? So he was worried about the number of the population in the planet at that time, and the time the population was not that high. But somehow it was it made a kind of a prevision that its theory was that unchecked population can will grow in a way that is with a rate that is higher than the growth of the sources of to sustain the population. So he was looking at animal communities, and according to the scientists who were studying the animal communities, and they found that if there is a community of animals who live in the same geographical area and they have plenty of food and water to live, the population of this animal will increase very quickly, more quickly than the increase the reproduction of the resources. So the population of rabbits will increase much with a speed that is much higher than the reproduction of food, of grass or of water. Do you understand this? Yeah. So it is geological the heart, the planet heart, needs time to produce goods and services. This is also, when we eat bread, to have bread we need wheat, but we have to wait 1 year, to have wheat. So geological time do not correspond with human time. So human time or technological time are much quicker than geological time. And also in the increasing of the population, is much quicker than the reproduction of the population is quicker than the reproduction of the resources that sustain the population. So the consequence of this in the animal community is that they start to kill each other. Some animals kill each other to have food, or eventually they will extinguish. That's for animals. But of course, human beings have the brain, so they will never reach this point, hopefully. This is the hope. And we have to find a solution to use the resources in a way that is more sustainable. And sustainable in this sense means that we should not consume all the resources we have, but we need to give enough time to the planet to produce enough resources that is needed for the well-living of all the human population. Is this concept? Maybe my English was not very good in the last sentence. But yes, question. Okay, this question is a little bit dodgy and political. The question is if I think that human beings will kill each other too if the resources are low. And yes, I don't want to answer this, but I can say what you think about this.
Maybe.
Yeah. Another question, yes. Yes, in addition to the question, yeah. 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 Yes and no. Yes is that people can, or the question was that, it was a question but an answer, actually, was an answer. If I understood well, your answer was that yes, people can kill each other to have the resources, but now we have, people have all the technology to use in, to manage the resources in a way that they can be enough for everybody. So it's positive, your answer, if I understood well. So we can use all the technological innovation we have. You are right, totally right. But still in the world there is a bad management of the resources. We could do better. Because there are still wars in the planet. There are many wars in the planet. So this is what about sustainable development also, because one of the sustainable development goals is about peace in the world. And then sustainable development goals are not related only to one country. They are related to all the planet. It doesn't matter the countries. It's the planet. We live in Norway now. I live also in Italy sometimes. But we live in the same planet, and this is... we cannot reach the sustainable development goals if don't look at all the planet and at the global level. So, okay, these ideas of Malthus, I want to just inform you. I'm not particularly, I don't agree with the Malthus. I mean, I agree with the fact that the population grows, but the reason, it was a little bit drastic. What I mean is that he suggested some solution, like the solution was to check the number of the population. Check the number of population was like put a limit to the birth of the population, especially for the poor people. So, of course, I don't agree with his solution, but I just want to show you that the problem of the demographic problem of the number of the population was already there 2 centuries ago. And in the 50s, around in the 70s, this theory was used again in the USA. It was called the Malthusian's movement, who again started to be worried about the demographic problem. It is still a problem, you know, because of course we talk about impact on the planet, and the impact are associated to the number of people. But the solution is not just to reduce the number of people. This is, in my opinion, I mean, this is not the solution. We should develop our knowledge on the possibilities we have as human beings to manage the resources and to reduce the impact, because the planet is still enough for all of us. Oh, this is my opinion, but still the problem of the number of population is there and how to manage the population. Another scientist, let's say, who I like actually very much is Nicholas Georgescu-Rogan. And he talks about economy. He is the father of the bioeconomy. He wrote an essay called Energy and Economic Myth in 1975. So he was living during the Second World War. He was born in Romania, and he moved during the Second World War. He moved to USA because, of course, there was war in Europe. So he was living and writing, working in the USA. And USA at the time was there was an economic boom, and you know that USA is the country of capitalism. So he wrote his essay a little bit like in it was critical with the capitalism system. In fact, he is considered the father of bioeconomy in contrast with the economical model that was developed at the time and that we are still using. We are still using a consumistic and a capitalistic model. So it was critical about this. And of course, being talking about the economy, it should be considered that it was towards a sustainable development. So do you understand a little bit more about sustainable development now? Yeah, a little bit. So, but let's read the principles of Georgescu Rogan. The reason why I like this, let's say, scientist, is that he is totally idealistic, but his principles are fantastic. If we could reach this principle, we would live in the planet in peace. We will have a very happy life. But he's idealistic. I like these principles, but then his principles are not really easy to apply, and I will show you why. First of all, he considered the human beings like introduced this concept endosomatic and exosomatic means, which make the difference between human beings and animals, for instance. So animals are born with instruments that he calls endosomatic, which are, for instance, the wings for the birds or the legs for the other animals. But human beings are using the brain, and through the evolution, they have developed exosomatic instruments because we're not born with wings, but we have created airplanes to fly, or we have created cars, we have to move anyway, we have created houses. Through the technology, we have, through these exomatic instruments, we have created a way of life that is for us very comfortable. And we didn't receive this from nature, but we have used the brain to have that. And so these exosomatic instruments are strictly connected with natural instrument, I mean, with our life. We cannot think to get rid of them. We cannot think to live without this innovation. So we have to include this into our economic model. But this, so we have to include in the economic model, but at the moment in the economic model we live, the natural part or the use of the resources is not included. So that's why he is considered the father of the bioeconomy. Economy is not, living in the planet is not only about biology like animals. For animals, they take the resources from nature, and it's okay, that's their life. But for human beings, we take the resources from the nature, this is the biological part, but there is also the economy, because, you know, when we make the plane or the train or when we fly, we have created the economic model, because we don't get that from nature. We need industries, companies, people to work to create that. So our lifestyle is not only about biological, using the natural resources, but it's also economy. So we cannot skip the biological part and the economical part. So they have to be put together in our life. So our life should be based on the bioeconomic model. Okay, I don't want to bore you, but the reason why I like him is that in order to have an economic model that is more bioeconomical, so more in line and more respectful for the planet, he introduces some principles of what the human being should do, what we should do. So, and first of all, he says in his essay, the production of instruments of war should be prohibited. So this is the first suggestion he does. So the production of all instruments of war, not only of war itself, of course also wars should be prohibited. This is the first recommendation, and of course you can understand that he was living during the Second World War, so for him the war was a shock, something we have never experienced. But also, if you consider about the impact, you know, I teach LCA, life cycle impact assessment. I've never seen an LCA on a gun or on a missile or a bomb. Can you imagine how much is the impact related to the production of a bomb? The production or the use? Have you, I mean, now probably you understood a little bit about the LCA, that is a way to account the environmental impact, which means the material consumption, energy consumption, and emissions released in air, soil, and water. Okay, if you imagine in the military sector, I've never seen any LCA. Okay, but can you imagine how much is the LCA of the impact for the military sector? And also, I was thinking, when the military, they have to train, of course, themselves. They make a lot of train. In Italy, they go in the sea, in the Mediterranean Sea, and shut, guns, and release lead. You know what is lead? Is a heavy metal that is released in the sea. But in every country, there are these training. Can you imagine how much is the impact? This is never accounted. I've never seen. Yes.
I know that the Norwegian military is black.
This?
Black.
Black. Okay. Okay. Without lead. Without.
Yeah.
Blanks. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Training.
Yeah. Okay.
And they made an article about that they tried to use electronic blanks.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. You are giving me an information. Okay, the comment was that Norwegian military are using blank bullets for training, and also they are using a system that to collect the plastic that is emitted. So at least there is some innovation also in this. Yes. Okay. So in this, so they will not spread the plastic. So there is a lot to do also in this case. The best way, according to Georgescu Rogan, would be to prohibit the production and use of weapons. But this should be done at a global level, because if you don't apply this at global level, it's not fair. And then it will end up that one country has a lot of military weapons and another country doesn't. So this is not fair. That's why I say these principles are very nice, I like, but it's not really easy to apply, because this is the nature of human beings. We cannot say that we want peace. I mean, maybe we all say that we want peace, but then we then kill each other. So this is a very dodgy topic. But I'm glad that from the Norwegian military they are making an effort, at least, to be more sustainable. Okay. The other principle, the second, according Nicolas Georgescu Rogan, I will show some, but not all of them. This is about consumption. So according to him, human beings should use all the goods that are needed. So try to get rid of the goods that are just for luxurious life, to be more socialist in this sense, not capitalist. You know, as I said, he was living in the USA, and USA was the country of capitalism, but of course this is associated. This is something that it is applied in the Sustainable Development Goals, and actually it's something that can be improved in the human beings' lifestyle, because have you heard of the concept of circular economy? It's also very new nowadays. For sure, you will learn all these concepts later on during your studies, because you are still at the first year, but you will learn this. But the concept of circular economy is to promote an economy, technological innovation that allows to use materials, products, new products, innovative, that are designed in order to be recycled, or designed in order to last for a longer time, and designed in order to be reused. In this way, after the use of this product, it will not become waste, but it will go back into the economy. That's why it's a circular economy. So in this principle of Georgescu Rogan, to reduce the consume and the capitalism, actually is very... there is a lot of work on this to try to reduce the consumption. Do you need a break? I can see that you are a little bit bored. Or maybe we can change. Okay, about Georgescu Rogan is enough. Do you need a break? I didn't know. What time is it? Okay, but it's okay. If you need a break, you just tell me, okay? Let's do like that. If you need a break for a coffee, but you have coffee there. You can take a coffee. You don't need a break, maybe. We can... Oh, no. Why is it there? Oh, okay. Ah, okay, it's not for you. I thought that it was put here for the students. And I said, ooh, that's nice for Norwegian universities. Okay, no, it was my mistake. But if you need a break, we can stop now before starting with the sustainability concept. It doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes. Okay, yes, you need a break. I will not shut down the microphone otherwise. Ah, yeah, good. Thank you. still. Yes, not. Okay. I am recording again. Okay, now we talk about sustainable development because we still don't know. If I ask you what is sustainable development, and then what can you answer? You still don't know the right words. Let's start with this. So I don't know if I'm recording. Wait a minute. Probably yes. It's green here, so I should be able to record. The concept of sustainable development was written in this here. If you go here in this report called "Our Common Future," there is a definition of sustainable development. But I want to tell you how all the story started. It started in 1972 with a meeting of some experts on and environment issues. And these experts called themselves Club of Rome. Have you heard of Club of Rome? It's still existing, actually, the Club of Rome. They met and wrote this report on the limits to growth. They started to talk about the concept that became sustainable development. Starting from this meeting, later on in 1987, the United UN asked the Europe. Former Prime Minister Gro Brundtland. I like to say that because you are Norwegian and she's Norwegian, so I know that the students are excited about this, that your Norwegian former Prime Minister Gro Brundtland was the head of this commission to talk about the sustainable development. There was a meeting, basically, during the meeting, all the experts were talking about the concept of sustainable development, and at the end of the meeting, they wrote a report that is called Our Common Future. And this report is available also, so you can read what were the concerns at the time, and there is also the definition of sustainable development that maybe I can show you now. And this is the definition of the sustainable development. It's a development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. So you have a definition now, which is includes all the concepts. So development that meets the needs of the present, which means that we have to go through a technological development in order to have a lifestyle that is good, that is the same as we are experiencing in the Western countries, without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs, which means without the way we live now should be in a way, okay, our lifestyle should be in a way that we don't compromise the resources or the health of the planet, so don't compromise the life of the future generation. So the future generation should find the planet we live in the same conditions. We should. It's like in a family. You are in a family that with welfare, and some resources to live. So the way to be sustainable is for the parents to keep this welfare for the children also, or to leave this welfare in a heritage to the children in order to help them to live in the same way. So this is the meaning of sustainable development. Have you heard before? Probably, yes. Yeah. So, but the definition was given during this meeting that that the commission is called the Brundtland Commissions, also taking the name from Gro Brundtland. And let's go back. And after this, in 2015, the sustainable development goals were defined. Have you seen all the meaning of all the 17 sustainable development goals? Have you studied this at school? Yes, so you know of them. So it's still in progress, the concept of sustainable development. It started in the 80s, and now there is a lot of talking about this. But there is a lot of talking and a lot of actions trying to take. The tools I was talking before, the LCA, in your opinion, in which sustainable development can be, to which sustainable development goals can be associated. So the LCA is a tool to evaluate the environmental impact of product and so and product and services. What, where do you think we can we include in some of these sustainable development goals? Maybe you don't know yet very well the topic, the tools, but maybe I can help you. So let's say, for example, SG9, industry innovation in the infrastructure, or let's say, because this one in the 9, it's about developing industrial process or infrastructure that are sustainable. And how can you prove that they are sustainable? You can prove by evaluating the impacts. And LCA is a tool to evaluate the impact. So the utility of LCA is to evaluate the impact that the company is generating, or we saw also for the military. So this one can be one SDG that is associated to the tool, or let's read of them. Also clean water, peace and justice. Well, do you have other suggestions? Yeah? Can you say again? Something else? Something not related? Okay. Sorry. Oh, climate action. Climate action. Do you know what is this about? Can you guess? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so have you heard about global warming? Yes, and climate action is about global warming. Do you know what is one response of the LCA? Is the valuation of the global warming potential. So potential, global warming potential. This is called the impact category according to the LCA method. So if you apply an LCA, for instance, for the plastic bottle, this is one very simple example, yes. As output of the LCA, you can understand how much is the CO2 equivalent emission, which is associated to the global warming potential. So, and this is useful because you can, or you mean scientists or engineers, yes, you as future engineers, you can design a product that produces or emits emissions of CO2 equivalent that are lower than the existing ones. So you can apply in eco design. So you can design products that are recyclable, and also the recyclability reduces the final CO2 emission. if you consider the entire life of the product. So the reason why we are doing this module is to give you some information or some, okay, not maybe you know have this information, but is to train your mentality to for the future, for your future work, to work or to design or so invent products that generates less environmental impact and so less CO2 equivalent, less emissions that affect the planet. This is how the LCA can be applied in your studies. Comments on this? Complicated? No. I mean, this is just for example, in this for this course, you have to develop a prototype. It's correct, as last year. So in this work, in this project, you will have to select material. So in material selection, this LCA can help because you can make an evaluation, for instance, of how much is the impact if you select one material or another one. And then if the properties are the same, are if you you compare two materials that have the properties required for the for your product, you can select the material with less impact. That's the utility of using LCA in eco-design. So you might consider, you might use this approach when you start to work on your project. So you can explain why you choose PLA instead of a PE, for example, polyethylene. Or why you cannot use PLA or instead of polyethylene, for example, if this is just an example. Okay. Okay. Oops. Let's continue. But sustainable development, have you seen this diagram before? This is associated to the concept of sustainable development that has three dimensions, the environmental, social, and economic. And in order to move towards sustainable development, all the three dimensions should be run together, should be considered together. What I mean is that if we only focus on the environmental dimension, if we want to develop a product that is environmental friendly, we can do it, of course. We can choose materials that are totally bio-based, that are totally recyclable. But we have also to consider the, but maybe these materials are not, they are very expensive. So we will end up with a product that is extremely expensive. But we have to consider also the economic part. So generally, these two dimensions are like the opposite. If we want a material that is totally environmental friendly, it will be very expensive. So the economy is not good. So we have to find a good compromise between environmental protection and economic value of the product in order to be more realistic, okay? Sustainable development should be also realistic, but also the social aspect should be included in this process, because we have also to take into account the fact that when we develop a product, this product can affect the society. One example is there are countries where social rights are not, not good, let's say. There is social injustice, or the workers have working in industries with a salary that is very low, or the conditions are not sustainable, in fact. So at the end, the product will be cheap, But there is no social justice because the products are cheap because of the work conditions are very bad for human beings. So these things should be considered when we talk about sustainable development. And also, again, remember that sustainable development is not only about the country where you live, because if you consider Norway, of course, all the conditions here are very good also for the environmental point of view, because Norway has a lot of resources and all the processes are, the industries, etc., are very careful to the environment. The environmental laws are very careful. But if we consider, and also the population is quite low, so many things we can say that Norway goes towards the sustainable development. But if we consider other countries, it is totally different. So we should promote sustainable development at global level. Well, about Norway, of course, there is a criticism, and one of the criticisms is that have you heard about this issue of fossil fuel? Yes, of course, because yeah, this is something that Norway cannot say. But this is a consequence of the concept of sustainable development, and sometimes it is not is used also. You know, the politics are always there. Because the point is that some criticism on Norway is that, okay, the country goes towards sustainable development, the electricity production is... you know that Norway produces electricity almost entirely from hydro, so it's totally renewable. If you compare with other countries in Europe, it's at the top in terms of sustainability, environmental protection. But then the criticism that Norway produces takes petrol or fossil fuel and sells to other countries. And if you do an LCA of the country, this affects a lot. This affects because the fossil fuel is associated to the emissions of CO2 and so on and so. But this type of analysis is limited and should be developed more, because you have to consider that fossil fuel is not the worst resource in the world. The problem of fossil fuel is that it's running off, it's finishing. But it has been a very good resource for many years. The problem is that it takes a long time to the planet to produce again fossil fuel. So in the 200 centuries, the fossil fuel consumption has been extremely high, because we have used the engine, and we have used almost all the fossil fuel that we had. According to some ecological indicators, the impact due to the use of fossil fuel is lower than the impact of other type of sources that we use for electricity. So about this criticism on Norway, I am a little bit critical, and probably we should not... Okay, let's go. Okay, now I've been talking about sustainable development, but if you consider the how is the planet nowadays at the moment, what do you think? Not Norway, okay, because for me Norway is sustainable. But what if you consider all the planet, what do you think? Is it sustainable or not? The world is big, and it's like we live in a country that is a NIC country, where NIC means... a very small community living protected by... we live in a very protected environment, but the rest of the world is totally different, and there are problems that the ecosystems are altered. Altered means they are damaged. Ecosystem, do you know what is an ecosystem? ecosystem is, for instance, the sea is an ecosystem. The sea, which is the water with the fishes and the plant, this create an ecosystem. All the ecosystems in the planet are affected by human activities, and I've been contaminated. In many countries, there is no water, fresh water to drink. In Norway, we drink fresh water from nature. We don't need a big issue. But in Italy, we have to buy the water in a supermarket. We don't drink the water from tap water, for instance. But in other countries, there is no water. Yes. There is a business again. It's not cheap. It's not that cheap. We have to buy because we don't trust the water from the tap water. So people prefer to buy it. Hopefully, it's more. better. So if we want, of course, life in Italy is cheaper than in Norway. Everything is cheaper, much cheaper. But anyway, to buy the water is an expense, and. Yes, it's cheaper than milk or other, yes. I can make you an example. One bottle of water, 2 liters from the supermarket, can cost between 50 cents. Oh, but it's in euros also. 50 cents, I don't know how much it is. 5 crowns maybe. Yeah. 10 crowns? Okay, 10 kroners per euro, so it's 50 cents, 5 kroner. If you buy in the supermarket, if you buy in the bar, or it's much more expensive. But 5 kroner, which is 50 cents, in Italy, it's still, it has a weight, which means that you consider that the average salary is about between 1,000 and 1,500 euros. Can you believe so? Yes, the average. Oh, if you are lucky, but some people work, some workers in, the work is not always permanent. Some people work like with a temporary contract, and the salary could be 500 euros, depending on what type of contract you have. Especially for young people, So when I say that Italian people are going to poverty, this is what I mean. So, okay, there are a lot of problems. Also, if I compare Italy with Norway, there is a big difference, and we are in Europe. I mean, Norway is not part of but it's still Europe. We can say that we belong to Europe, but there are countries that are much more poor. Also, Greece is poor. Greece was destroyed. The economy of Greece was destroyed from, I don't understand what is behind, but anyway, it was destroyed somehow. Yes. So, but Europe is considered the most, the richest part of the planet. So there are countries who has not even the same benefit than in Italy we have. Okay, but let me see. I want to move to next. What's happening here? Okay, this is something interesting. Interesting. I want to introduce you. Another scientist who was called Gianantoni. This is Italian, and he introduced another concept about the how to. There is many scientists in the world who are trying to measure the value of the. Capital, natural capital. Have you heard of natural capital? Natural capital is what we receive, we take from the planet. So So natural capital is all the minerals or the fertile land or the waters, all this belong to natural capital. And we consider that these are for free. We take them for free, as they are for free from the nature. But they have a cost. I mean, the planet, the nature, make an effort to produce the natural capital. And some scientists are trying to give an economic value to the natural capital, which is not easy, of course. But according to them, the economic model we use now doesn't take into account this natural capital, and this cannot be realistic. Because, for instance, this is the example you explained. If we consider the gross domestic product, do you know what it is? This gives an idea of how rich is a country. I don't know how it is called in Norwegian. In Italian is also called PIL, Prodotto Interno Lordo. The gross domestic product is how much is the richness of a country. You know? Brute national product, probably. Okay, brute national product. It is calculated using this formula, which includes the consume, the investment, the export, and the import. So according to some the economists, this equation is not very representative, or it's limited. There is a limitation on that. The limitation is that there is no value on the natural capital. And for instance, if the example they made is if in a country there is a disaster, like a earthquake or oil spill, that is a disaster that destroys the ecosystem, the natural capital. But still, the country invests money in order to get rid of this disaster. So in this investment of money is accounted here, and the gross domestic product increases for that country. So this is a kind of a paradoxic. So when there is a damage on the natural capital, this indicator, this economic indicator, becomes higher. It's like the country is becoming more rich, but actually it's not the case. So according to them, there should be this delta KN, you know, delta natural capital, that is a factor to give an economic value to the natural capital. And there are a lot of works, studies, scientists who are trying to evaluate these numbers. And there are also indicators that are called ecological indicators. So these two indicators I show, energy synthesis, ecological footprint, are models that have been developed to try to give numbers to the ecosystem support, I mean, to the work that the planet does to give us the support we have. So everything has a cost. The energy, I'm not going deep in the concept. For the energy system, I don't know if you have ever heard, it's not a mistake. Energy is with M, is not with N. The origin of this principle came from a consideration. The origin of this method was Howard Odum. He was an ecologist living in Florida. Now he passed away. But his school started on this principle that if we consider how we account the we evaluate the products. If we evaluate the products using the energetic analysis, you know, energetic analysis considers the energy flows for the products. Or if we use just the energetic flows, we want to compare a piece of log and a book, for instance. What is the difference between a book and the same amount of log, wood, book and a wood? If we do the energetical analysis, how the energetic analysis works is that we burn the book and the log. They have the same energy emission, except you can say, no? So if we only use this system to evaluate these two different products, we can say that the two products are the same. But we know that they are not the same. I mean, if we are like blind and we say, oh, we do the investigation only using energetic flows, we see that from these two products that are both based on wood, they burn, they emit the same amount of energy, we can say they are the same. But we are missing. We are not evaluating what is behind the book. And what is behind the book is the process of making the paper, inventing the paper, or writing the words, inventing the words. So in this energy is included also the human brain. You know? There are a lot of things that are not measurable with energy flow. But they are still there. This is part of the natural capital. That's why it's difficult to evaluate. So we cannot... This is also about telling how the limitation of science. Science can help us, or technology can help us to understand things, but there are things we still cannot investigate, or cannot evaluate in a real way. This is an example. How can we tell in terms of ecological indicators the difference between a book on the log and a piece of log, for instance? But okay, the energy is quite complex and becomes also a little bit philosophical, so it's not appropriate for engineering. But the ecological footprint is another indicator that can be of interest for you. Ah, but this one was interesting because doing an energy synthesis, it came out that fossil fuel was more sustainable than other type of resources. But okay, I say that, so I will not say this. Okay. Okay, the other one is the ecological indicator. This is easier to understand. So it's a model that was created by William Rees and Mathis Wackernagel in 1992. And according to this model, all the activities of anthropic activities. We can include in the anthropic activities. If I want to calculate the ecological footprint of myself, I have to calculate in one day, for example, what I do, how much water I consume, how much electricity I consume, how much food I consume, what I do with the clothes, where I live. And then all these flows, material and energy flows, will be transformed into CO2 emission. And the model accounts the CO2 emission in terms of fertile land to absorb the CO2 emission. So this is roughly how the model works. But I want to show the result because there are some reports on the ecological footprint on the planet. This slide, there is ecological footprint of the world population in 1961. It is accounted considering this is North America, so the ecological footprint was, let's say, about 5. This is the number of the population in 1961. Of course, the higher is the ecological footprint means the higher is the impact. It's needed more land to absorb all the CO2 emitted by this population in USA. And here we have Europe. Of course, here we have Asia. I say of course because Asia is the impact of Asia is lower. But and then I want to show how is the projection after the years. So this is still in 2005. So we have bigger numbers. We have archaeological footprint almost double compared to 1961 for USA. The trend is the same, but numbers are bigger. So the ecological footprint of the population is increasing. And another, yes. Yes, the question is if I know the difference between EU and Europe non-EU. And you have to consider in 1961 and 2005. So in Norway, do you think is in EU or not? Not. And many other countries in Europe were not part of EU. Like Poland, Romania, they joined EU much later. So there were many countries that were not part of EU. And the reason is that the economy was different. Europe non-EU was much more poor. And the ecological footprint is associated with not only poverty, but it's also associated to the consumption. If you see the USA, the capitalist, the most capitalist has a higher because it is associated to consumption. Well, but now what is Europe non-EU? Okay, is now the Europe non-EU, I don't know which country is not in, only Norway and Switzerland is not part of EU. All the other countries, almost all, they are joined the EU. But this is, the EU is more a commercial agreement. It's more for commercial agreement. Of course, we share all the same values with Norway. I think the difference is on commercial. But it's the market are different. For instance, if I want to send, if I want something from Italy to here, it costs a lot. You know this? If my parents want to send me a box with food, Italian food, it's so expensive that it's cheaper for me to go to Italy and take it by plane. How do you call it? Dogana, the borders, for the borders. Yes. It's like Switzerland is the same. They are not, it's the same in Switzerland. You didn't know about this. So another concept to finish with this ecological footprint is the concept of biocapacity. So the human activities generate impact. So this is the ecological footprint. But the planet has a capacity to absorb this CO2, this ecological footprint. The capacity is to have, it is called the biocapacity. Biocapacity means to have land with wood to absorb the electricity. So this biocapacity for the, consider the footprint is this one with the red dots. So for USA, the biocapacity is this one and the ecological footprint is this one. So this, what year? In 2005. The biocapacity was lower than the actual ecological footprint. It means that USA population is affecting very much the biocapacity, the planet. For EU, non-EU, it was still the ecological footprint less than the biocapacity. Norway gives a good contribution in that because you have a lot of wood and low population. So, and this is on the concept how the ecological footprint works, and it has been used to check the level of impact and the level of capacity of the planet to absorb that impact. So it seems that there are countries where in most of the countries actually the impact is higher than the biocapacity. And it seems that, let's see if I have another slide. Okay, these are, but at the end of this report, what they stated was that, I mean, the people who applied this method, it was that human beings are living in this planet, are using the resources of the planet as, in a way, okay, as they had two or more planets. Have you heard this expression? We are living in one planet, but we use the resources, and the lifestyle we have is like we had two or more planets. But this is for rich countries. So, for instance, in all this evaluation, the United States, they are using the... they are living in a consumistic way, but the biocapacity is very low. So how can this be possible? Because they are using the resources that come from other part of the countries. So in other part of the world, there are people who live with a very low impact, ecological impact, and they have a good biocapacity. And so there is not a balance in the distribution of the resources. That's why people who with a high footprint is living still in like it had the biocapacity. It's like people are using the credit card, taking money, and so they can pay the expenses, but actually there is no money in their account, and that money are given by the banks, and this the banks find this money in other accounts. You see? Okay, maybe I'm confusing you. Yeah, but these are theories, of course. I'm just showing what is behind the word the sustainable development. Or these are discussion and studies that are related to sustainability. Okay, I think it's for now it's okay, and we can have a break. We go for lunch, and we will meet after to talk about the assignment you have next week. So we can talk more on the LCA or how you have to make this assignment. Maybe you have questions. I don't want to give you stress on the assignment. Okay. Well, now we have a lunch. Half hour. Can you eat in 10 minutes? No, I can't. I am Italian. I need to sit down. Okay, so we will meet at 12:30.